Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The relationship between the Father and the Son is crucial to understanding Christianity. Jesus died as a sacrifice to avert the Father's wrath on us guilty sinners. That is an expression of love that can never be fully understood. Today, more on that love. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, your series is on the mysteries of God. Help us fathom the mystery of an eternal Father's love for His only Son.
Well, Dave, I'm glad the way you put it. All that we can do is to try to fathom the mystery. And by no means do I think that we've accomplished that, but I believe that God is honored when we try to understand Him as far as possible. People who listen to Running to Win will know that I frequently say that one of the distinguishing marks of Christianity is indeed the Trinity, and because of that, God can be a redeeming God. But before we continue on that theme, I want to remind our listeners that we do have an offer. That is to say, our featured resource is entitled, He Will Be the Preacher. You know, I wrote this story. It's actually my autobiography. I wrote it because I wanted to give praise to God to show how He led me. And the faithfulness of God is what my burden is, as you have the opportunity, I hope, to read it, to give God glory. In it, you'll find stories about my own background, but more importantly, about God's leading. I'm thinking, for example, of having lunch with someone by the name of Elmer Towns. Perhaps you've heard that name. And he asked me whether or not I had ever thought of writing a book. At that point, I hadn't. But through a series of events that were almost miraculous, I ended up writing my first book, and I've been writing ever since. I say that for only one reason. God leads us even when we are unaware of it. I'd love for you to have this resource. Here's what you can do. You can call us at 1-888-218-9337, or you can go to rtwoffer.com. Let me give you that number again, 1-888-218-9337. And now we turn our attention to the wonderful doctrine of the triunity of God. Now, the point is this. In pagan religions, and I may mention this again, in pagan religions, what you have is, and Christianity is sometimes criticized, oh yeah, look at this religion. They offered sacrifices. You know, the sacrifices of blood are found in all religions, and Christianity is just the same. No, it's not. In all the other religions, what you have is people bringing sacrifices. In Christianity, God becomes the sacrifice. Wow. And God demands a payment for sin, and He supplies what He demands so that redemption is of God. You can't find that in any other religion. Now, if you believe in a one-person God, such as Islam, God might let bygones be bygones and forgive you. But He has no just basis upon which to do so except to let bygones be bygones. And more likely, He's going to ask you to suffer for your own sin and make your own payment. So in redemption, we have a redeeming God that you need a Trinity for. No other God can be a redeeming God without the Trinity. Now, how do we bring this down so that our lives are changed and we understand the profound implications? First of all, I've emphasized this, God has always been a father. He's always been a father. Since the beginning of time, He loved the Son. He's always been a father. The distinctive mark of Christianity is that God is the Father. Now, there is a book written by a woman whose name I'm probably going to mispronounce, but it's Bilquis Sheikha. It's the best I can do. She wrote a book entitled, I Dared Call Him Father. She was in a deeply Muslim family in Pakistan. Somebody gave her a Bible and she began to read the Bible, and suddenly the whole idea of love began to grip her. And she says in her book, and the book is entitled, as I mentioned, I Dared Call Him Father, that it is when she called God Father, she knew that she was no longer praying to Allah. Because in Islam, it would be a great mistake to call God Father. But the distinguishing mark of Christianity is God is Father. Jesus said, in this way, pray, our Father who art in heaven. And it's mentioned also in the Old Testament that God is Father because God's primary identity is love. I remember praying with a woman years ago who used to come to me. She struggled deeply with alcoholism, and she'd go a couple of weeks and then she'd fall again and feel so terrible over what she did. So she'd say, Pastor, pray with me. Here's an interesting thing. She was a believer in Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. But I always smiled within my heart with great joy because every time she began to pray, this was her opening line. Father, you know that I love you, and I want you to forgive me for what you've done. Now, who told her to pray that way? Did I tell her, hey, now when you pray, your opening line is, Father, I love you? Of course not. I didn't have to. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is given to us, and we learn a lot of things by that Spirit, but the Holy Spirit of God is given to us by which we call and we say, Abba, Father. Abba being a term of endearment for God. Some people say it's something like Daddy. Abba, Father. Where does that come from? It is birthed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you just pray to God, and you don't pray to God as your Father, almost certainly, you are not a Christian, you are not redeemed. Now, how do people who believe that God is their Father, how do they handle the adversities of life? Shouldn't a father bail them out whenever he can? Well, the Father loves us more than our earthly fathers, but he does have a different agenda. But let me give you an example of what they do. Carolina Sandell Berg. She was a woman who lived in Sweden, and she was on a boat with her father, and the boat lurched. I think that this was probably the 1700s or 1800s, so they didn't have a way in which to rescue him. So there she is. She's watching her father drown. How does a Christian process this business of being a child of God and tragedy comes? Well, she wrote the words of a hymn, which Rebecca and I heard this past week because we attended a funeral. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Christians trust the Father to the very end, because they know that this isn't the only life, and he'll be our Father throughout eternity. So the first thing we learn is that God always has been a loving Father. And that's why when we were singing, you know, the love of God, I thought, you know, could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a tribe by trade. I didn't know that I could quote that. I was a little nervous getting into it. I might have to add some extra words to have it come out right. Second lesson that we can learn is that the only way to the Father is through the Son. The only way to the Father is through the Son. And this makes sense. He is the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased. He did the will of the Father. He came to redeem humanity. No prophet has ever done that. No teacher has ever done that. No guru is able to do that. There is only one person qualified to do that, to redeem us, and that's Jesus. And it's only Jesus that gets us to God the Father. Do I have an amen here today? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And by the way, since we have some Germans here today, I've never done this in the 36 years that I've been here at the Moody Church, but for them, I'm going to quote that verse in German. Ich bin der Weg und die Wahrheit und das Leben. Niemand kommt zum Vater, denn durch mich. Did I do okay back there? I know three verses in German, and I've just shared one of them. So if you're listening to this today and you are investigating Christianity, understand more about Jesus, understand his beauty, understand who he is and what he did. You say, well, you know, that's a very narrow view that you only get to God through Jesus. Of course it's narrow, but it's open to everyone. Doesn't matter what religion you belong to, doesn't matter what spectrum you are on in terms of your past life, it is open to everyone. So while it is narrow for a good reason, but it is open to all who humble themselves and receive him. And by the way, what does the text say? John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Amazing promise. Third, it's very important to realize that those who believe in the Son, those who believe in the Son are invited to participate in the relationship of the Trinity. They are invited to participate and enjoy the relationship of the Trinity. And now at last we do come to John 17. Now, this is the prayer of Jesus to the Father, and he is praying to the Father, and it opens the door to an understanding of the Trinity, the likes of which is just incredible. No wonder John 17 is one of the favorite chapters of many Christians. You have many favorite chapters, but this certainly is one of them. Notice what Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be made one in us, that the world may know and believe that you've sent me. Jesus is saying the relationship that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and they never have an argument, is the relationship that should exist among us as believers. Well, if you know anything about living with believers, you know that we're a long way from that, but that's the ideal. That's why racism is such a sin, is because of the unity into which Jesus Christ brings us, is a unity of fellowship, is a unity of oneness, and such distinctions are sinful. Well, you know, to live above with the saints I love, oh, that'll be glory. But to live below with the saints, I know. That's another story, right? But that's the ideal. So he prays that we may be one, and then this blows you away. But this is in God's word. Verse 22, the glory that you've given me, I've given to them. And we say, wait a moment. The Old Testament says that God says, I will not share my glory with another. Well, look at the text. Always keep your finger on the text. The Father gives the Son glory, but it is now the Son's prerogative to give that glory to us. I'm just reading the text. The glory that you have given them, given me, I'm giving to them. So, you deserve that? I don't. Can't speak on your behalf, but I think your wife would be glad to. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me. The world should look at us and say, why do those folks love each other so much? And why do they love beyond the church and love others? That's what the world should be saying. Unfortunately, that's not often, or at least not all the time, the world sees that. But that's the prayer of Jesus. And then you get to love. I'm in the last part of verse 23. You have loved them even as you have loved me. Really? The Son is the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased and has been well pleased with him from out of all of eternity. And Jesus said, the same love, actually, you love them the same way. You say, oh, I sure don't feel that love. Your feelings are lying to you if you're a believer. That means, and then if you wonder, well, how did the Father love the Son? Well, now I'm in verse, last part, I guess, of verse 24. You have loved me from before the foundation of the world. So how long ago did God love you, dear believer? From before the foundation of the world. If you've been following this series of messages, you know that when I spoke on the decrees of God last time, you were in God's mind for as long as God existed. And what this means is God doesn't play games with us and say, well, you know, I love him today because he had a warm time in his devotions, but, you know, he didn't, and now I don't love him so much because look at sin in his life, and my love, you know, kind of depends on his response. No. The love depends on the fact that Jesus paid it all. We are seen as being in him, and therefore he can say, I loved you from before the foundation of the world. All of that. You know, the Bible says that we inherit all things. Jesus inherits all things. All right? That's a pretty good inheritance, wouldn't you say, Larry? To inherit all things? Beautiful. We could sign up for that. Romans chapter 8. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If Jesus died for you to redeem you, why is he going to withhold anything else in eternity to come? Fact is, he won't. And so you and I get to enjoy the relationship of the Trinity. And of course, we enjoy it so imperfectly now. But the day is coming when we will understand that this prayer will be fully and totally answered. You'll notice what Jesus ends by praying. He says, O righteous Father, in verse 25, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I've made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The passage actually I wanted to emphasize is where Jesus said here, I desire that they be with me. It's verse 24. That they whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold your glory. Heaven isn't the golden streets. It isn't the magnificent stream where God is going to have his throne. It isn't even so much us meeting each other up there, though the Bible invites us to be excited about the fact that we're going to be reunited with those who have gone before. Ultimately, heaven is that we are with him and with him through all eternity. A man, I heard hallelujah out there. Could we give God a hand, please? Paul Gibson was, I think, the president of Cambridge at one time, and they commissioned that a picture, a painting of him be made. And when it was unveiled, he said something that was a tremendous compliment to the artist. He said, when people look at this painting, they aren't going to ask the question, who is it that is painted? They're going to look at that and they're going to say, who was that painter? Throughout all of eternity, the angels in heaven and anyone else who happens to be looking on is not going to say, wow, who are those redeemed people? No. They are going to say, who is their Redeemer that they should be so exalted? And so if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, if you don't call God Father, come to Him through Jesus. Admit your sinfulness. And the Spirit of God within you will bubble up, as it were, figuratively speaking. And you'll call Him Father. What a blessed thing to call our God. Well, I don't think I can do any better in this message, which I'm going to end in a moment by quoting 2 Corinthians chapter... I'm seeing it in my mind's eye now, chapter 13, verse 14. People ask, do you have a photographic memory? I must, because it's always working in the dark. But I'm seeing it now in my Bible. It says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. What a blessed way to end a letter. The Trinity right there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may it be with you. Let's pray. Now, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would enliven our worship. Help us to know that you are entirely worthy of all of our worship. And for those who have never believed on Jesus, we pray, Lord, that they might. May they see him. May they see him as the way to the Father, the only way to the Father. We thank you that he has loved us from all of eternity, and we thank you that we shall someday see the fulfillment of his prayers, that we shall be with him where he is forever. We ask now, Lord, that there may be those who are believing on Christ right now, reaching out and saying, I can't call God Father, but I want to. I will dare to call him my Father. Because I've received his Son. We can't do that, Lord. That's up to your Spirit and the work that you do in people's hearts. For those whose hearts are prompted, cause them to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this again is Pastor Lutzer. Could I ask you a question? Are you blessed as a result of the ministry of Running to Win? I hope that you are. And you know, because you are blessed, and I trust indeed that you are, you can help us to bless others. Running to Win is not the ministry of a man. It's not the ministry of a church or an organization. I see it actually as the ministry of God's people. And you can become a part of this ministry as you support us. You can support us with your prayers, with your gifts, because together we are making a difference and we are enabling people to see that indeed, they can call God Father. I hold in my hands a letter someone has written to us about the blessing that Running to Win has been to them. This woman says, as a result of your overview of the Bible, I've begun to read it. And then she goes on to say, and I must summarize here, that as a result, she begins to share his testimony, that is to say, her testimony. And also, she talks about the transformation that the Word of God has made in her life. Well, I could go on, but it's because of people like you we can do that. Could I encourage you to become an endurance partner? Endurance partners are people who stand with us with their prayers, with their gifts, and in this way they become a part of the Running to Win family. Here's what you can do. Go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Or call us at 1-888-218-9337.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. The death of Jesus on a Roman cross is the turning point of history. When Jesus paid the price for our sins, a great mystery was laid bare. Next time on Running to Win, join us for The Death of God. Thanks for listening. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.